The referee did not screw Bret Hart. Shawn Michaels certainly did not screw Bret Hart. Nor did Vince McMahon screw Bret Hart. I truly believe that Bret Hart screwed Bret Hart.
I'm back, and I'm better than ever. Got a knack for making things better. Face facts, 'cause your opinion don't matter. This maniac is gonna step on whomever.
G'day, g'day, wrestling fans! How the actual fuck is it going? Welcome back to the Screwjob, a podcast in which we rant, rave, bitch, moan, complain, and put each other in that shell shock thing that Ryback does over the WWE. I am David James Young, and I am the tag team champions.
And I am Chris Young, and I think you'll find that I am the tag team champions.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. It has been several months. We are live here in Screwjob headquarters, Camberwarren, New South Wales. We would sincerely like to apologise for the extended delay between episodes. We've missed quite a bit. There's no real excuse. We've just had very busy schedules. I've just released an album. I've got a book I'm working on. Chris is doing uni. It's just, we haven't really had the time to get our collective shit together, but we're here now, and that is the main thing. Now, we are just doing this as a little bit of a preamble before we watch WWE Hell in a Cell. Some big matches coming up, particularly Ryan Reeves getting the biggest push of his career as he takes on CM Punk for the WWE Championship.
Okay.
Oh, if you've never watched it, check out Al Snow talking about Ryan Reeves and his eating habits. It's one of the funniest WWE-related videos in the history.
I got the miles.
No. The guy was excited about Cracker Barrel. Come on.
Oh, we don't have that in Vegas.
Oh, mercy. Chris, give us some of your feelings about the pay-per-view going into it.
Weird.
It is a bit weird, isn't it?
It's a weird card. Like, there's nothing really that stands out that it's going to like steal the show. I don't think either of the title matches are going to be great. I don't think the tag match is going to be. I think the tag match is going to be a bit of a letdown because we've been so excited about it for so long.
Yeah.
I think the Divas match is going to be a Divas match. You know, I'm genuinely happy that Justin Gabriel is on a pay-per-view.
Sure.
What else is there? And there's, you know, Alberto Del Rio and Randy Orton for the not even trying any more championship of the world.
Yeah, that's going nowhere, is it?
Yeah, it's a bit pathetic.
A man's got to work.
Yeah, you gotta put your main eventers somewhere. Otherwise, you know, if you play Extreme Warfare Revenge, you know, if you don't lose your main eventers, they lose all their morale really quickly.
I don't know, there's a couple of things I'm interested to see. Pushing Ryback at the last minute, I think it was wise to have that going along the same time as Cena, in case Cena couldn't do it. I've had my doubts about Ryback, as I've documented on this podcast, but tonight is going to be the night where he proves it. Win or lose, this is going to set the bar for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
So there's a lot riding on this match.
If he can't hang with CM Punk, then he really has no spot in the main event in the next 5 years, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be either a game changer or a momentum killer.
Speaking of momentum killer, Big Show having another run at the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Sheamus. After about 3 months into this championship reign, I grew really, really tired of Sheamus. And he has to be the stalest face in the company. And that is saying something, considering we have Randy Orton on this roster. There's just nothing going into this, and I really want help. I think it says a lot that I want Big Show to fuck things up. I want Big Show to fucking go in there and and Sheamus's ass to him. Even if Ziggler is a factor in this match, I don't care. All I want is something interesting going on in this goddamn title frame. Like, it just, with feuds like this, it just makes the World Heavyweight title feel increasingly irrelevant. And that depresses me.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a reboot soon. Like, well, the word is that Ric Flair's coming back to the E, and he's coming back tomorrow.
Oh, no shit.
For the North Carolina Raw.
Ooh.
And so, if Dolph Ziggler is world champion by then, having Dolph Ziggler get presented the world title by the man who held it, I think, it was 16 times, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not including his NWA title runs, which makes him a 25-time world champion. But, I think that's... No, is that Ric Flair? I'm not sure. Anyway,
Ric Flair was multiple times
16-time world champion, but I don't know if anyone counts the NWA anymore. I
definitely do.
If he's coming back and they present the title to Flair presents the title to Ziggler and then, you know, manages him or whatever. Ooh, talk about reputable champions.
All bets are off, man. All bets are off. So I guess we're going into Hell in a Cell slightly cynical, but you know what? I'm just going to sit down and let this pay-per-view impress me. I'm just going to let it happen. See how it goes.
It's really all you can do with these sort of really weak cards.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that anyone's like actually bought tickets for it.
I don't know if it's sold out or not.
Oh, it would actually be really funny if there was just like drapes. Everyone,
you just see like 100 people there just going,
get way back. Ryan Reeves.
Hey, Ryan Reeves' family's all there just chowing into some mild chicken.
Love it.
When's Ryan wrestling?
Will we have time to go get some more dinner?
I need to go to the concession stand. Need to buy the whole thing.
Oh. Alright, well.
Where's Crispy Squares?
Hey, Chris. Let's go get something to eat, and then when we return, we're going to be talking about Hell in a Cell.
I'm here to show the world.
Come on!
Bring it out!
And we're back. So we are fresh from watching Hell in a Cell, and some pretty mixed reactions we've been getting overall, but it's an interesting one, to say the least. We'll start with you, Chris. Overall, before we get into match specifics, what did you make of Hell in a Cell?
I don't know. I didn't really have much, you know. I wasn't looking forward to it, really, going into it. So I guess I was surprised. Positive. I was genuinely happy with things, I guess.
Really?
Result-wise, I guess. The matches, some of them were good, some of them weren't that great. The crowd was actually terrible, I think.
Yeah, for a pay-per-view crowd.
They were really bad. They will second-guess taking a pay-per-view to Atlanta in future because they just got a really terrible crowd tonight. That might have been, though, because the card wasn't, you know, worth paying for, pretty much.
It wasn't the worst pay-per-view I've seen this year, but by no means was that the best pay-per-view. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty mixed overall, but some positive did come out of it. We're seeing some further character development, and we are seeing Ryan Reeves as a genuine main event threat. And I never thought I'd be saying that. We started things off with Alberto Del Rio taking on Randy Orton in a match that Chris and I joked about and said that it was the least over face in the company taking on the least over heel. And it still kind of felt like that. But for what it's worth, they still put on a fairly engaging match. For people that are definitely not used to opening a pay-per-view, I think both of them are at a point where they really need to have something to prove in order to keep their characters interesting. They need that hunger back. Who knows, maybe it'll return in the next few months. Maybe this is a starting point. Or maybe they'll just go back to their regular forms of bullshit. I don't know, but it's going to take a lot for me to care more about Randy Orton and Alberto Del Rio's rivalry than just an, it was okay.
I was Alberto Del Rio fan number one for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't care anymore. Really, it's stale, it's boring, it's done nothing interesting in the past. year, pretty much.
What do you think needs to change?
Maybe a face turn somehow.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Alberto could be face?
Yeah.
How would you market that, though? Because his whole thing is just being better than everyone, really. His character, at least. How would you change that about?
No. I guess, you know, like a change of heart. Maybe something would happen. Or like, maybe he gets, like, beaten up with a heel and, like, he's in trouble with a heel and a face runs in to save him and he's like, oh, you guys aren't so bad after all. You know, like a generic face turn. And then just slowly develops more over time. Maybe, like, when they were trying to turn Sheamus face, they introduced this whole backstory about how he used to be fat and get bullied when he was a kid and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's really not different at all as a face.
He just
changes his voice.
We'll talk a bit more about Sheamus later on.
So, you're like, just using him as an example, he didn't really need to change much to be a face. Neither does Randy Orton, who's the other guy in this team. And I just think it would be interesting to see them try that route with ADR. And if not, you know, it only takes 3 weeks to turn back.
That's true. The tag team titles were on the line where we saw Team Friendship defending their tag team titles against the Rhodes Scholars, Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. Now, in the time that we've been gone, the tag team division took a shit, died, came back to life, and is now destroying everything. I am head over heels in love with tag team wrestling once again, and almost entirely the reason is because of these four people. Kane, Daniel Bryan, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow. Rhodes and Sandow needed something. They needed a little extra something to keep each other going. And teaming them together, genius. Kane and Daniel Bryan have been responsible not only for some great matches, but for some of the genuinely funniest things the WWE has done in over a decade. I adore Team Friendship. I refuse to call them by their official name. Team Friendship is a brilliant name and it suits them perfectly. And what's more, they put on a hell of a contest here. I was a bit iffy about the ending, but overall, I'm so glad that we have people involved in tag team wrestling again. Chris, what do you make of the tag team division right now?
I think those two teams, along with the primetime players, are really great.
Yeah.
I was a bit disappointed with how they handled the primetime players after all that AEW nonsense. But, you know,
it felt like they were punishing them, didn't they?
Yeah. But, you know, whatever. Rhodes Scholars is really interesting. It's like when they debuted Damian Sandow, it was like, okay, what now? Once he finished up the whole, you know, beat up people we don't care about angle that they did with Ryback for 3 years. But, yeah, like, so once that finished up, they were like, well, what now? I was like, oh, well, maybe we can pair him up with someone who's equally as menacing as the ultimate heel, Cody Rhodes. You know, he's just a guy that needs to stay heel forever. He's perfect as a heel.
Now, you've been a Cody Rhodes fan for a long time. But
since 07.
But you've got to admit that there's been a bit of a slump for his in-ring action and his storylines recently, and that forming the Rhodes Scholars was exactly what he needed.
Yeah, I mean, after the most pointless title loss, regain loss in the history of anything ever.
Oh, man. What a joke.
Yeah, they really just had nothing. And so, putting him with Damian Sandow, who's on the up and up, is really great. It's great for both of them. They both feed off each other. They've got natural charisma. They're a great tag team, and they deserve, eventually. This is like, I was glad that they won, but that they didn't get the titles, sort of thing, like via disqualification. It was good. It shows that they have them in mind for a title run later on, which is good because I like to see a feud where, you know, there'll be a couple of defenses and then they'll lose the title, they'll defend it a few times, they'll lose it again, like sort of thing. Like, it'll go back and forth between the teams. I like rivalries like that. Which is where the whole Sheamus ADR thing fell flat on its ass, because one side just kept dominating at every turn, not just on TV and or pay-per-views.
It got unbearable, didn't it?
It did. And so I think it's good that I think I want these guys to feud forever.
I was actually just going to say, if this is how Kane spends the last few years of his career before he retires, then I'm totally fine with that.
Do you think it was Glenn Jacobs' choice to go back to, like, comedy Kane after, like,
I don't know.
After all the really serious, dark Demon Kane that we saw earlier, and then the World Heavyweight title run that he had prior to that, where he was just the most evil dude, and he beat The Undertaker and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And now he's back to comedy Kane, which I don't think we've seen since 2002, maybe.
Not particularly. You know what? Kane is clearly having a lot of fun. He's killing it in the ring, and he's involved with some great skits and just little bits outside of the ring. I think he's past the point where he can be the big menacing dude. Like, he can still manage that, but I think he just wants to take everything just a little less seriously. And if that means pairing him with someone as great as Daniel Bryan and them just working so well together, both in the ring and out of the ring, then no complaints whatsoever.
Mm. I think Kane, as a character, is like the last gimmick wrestler. Because, you know, The Undertaker's pretty much finished. So,
he is pretty much part of a dying breed. We've established that, like, a few episodes back.
I think it just shows the versatility of Kane's character and, like, just his shooting, like, his abilities. Not shooting abilities, just regular old abilities.
Yeah.
Because I've only noticed this year, but he's really quite eloquent, and he's a great talker. He does promos like a boss, and he's just,
yeah,
he's really good at everything he does. He's like Chris Jericho.
I've said it on several occasions, and I will say it again, that Kane is my all-time favourite wrestler, and that's been the same way for the past 10 or so years, and I can't see that changing anytime soon. We have the Intercontinental Championship on the line. Brand new champion, four-time champion, Kofi Kingston, taking on The Miz. The man that he defeated a few weeks back on WWE Main Event. We'll discuss bringing back Main Event in a future episode, but for now, let's focus on Kingston and The Miz. After R-Truth ended, Kingston needed something to keep him going, something to stop him from becoming stale. For him now, that's the Intercontinental Championship, and I'm okay with that, because he's bringing in some great energy, he's putting on some of the best matches he's put on in years, and Miz is a really formidable person to be sparring with. They've had a great run these past few weeks, and I think it's going to continue into Survivor Series. I'm very, very pleased with that, because I love both of them, and I love seeing them work together. Now, Chris, you're a pretty big Miz fan, but I don't know, I've always seen you as pretty much a fence sitter when it comes to Kofi Kingston. After watching this match, where do you stand now?
Well, first off, I just want to say, did you say R-Truth before?
Yeah.
Because the air part was Evan Bourne in Air Boom. So R-Truth doesn't really make sense.
It was a play on R-Truth and air because Kofi was up in the air?
Yeah, no, but the whole Air Boom thing was because of, like, his finishing move being airborne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where?
And Kofi does the boom boom thing. So
it's using, just a play on R-Truth.
I know, but it didn't make sense. Anyway.
Hey, I didn't come up with it.
What is that really their was that really their team name? They always got called Kofi Kingston and R-Truth when I saw them on telly.
Yeah, they did. It's just a slang thing.
It just one person uses.
I just sort of got bandied about and I liked it. I just thought it was a play on R-Truth. That's it.
That makes sense. People disgust me. Kofi Kingston.
Let's talk about Kofi Kingston. Let's not talk about Evan Bourne because, you know, both of us are not high at the moment and we have working feet.
Yeah.
So we don't need to talk about Evan Bourne.
So we can puff puff pass on that topic.
Ding 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 down.
All right. Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
I always liked him as an athlete.
Uh-huh.
I just thought he was fucking terrible on the microphone.
He's still not brilliant,
that,
to be
that
totally fair.
Age-old tale of when Chris Jericho cut a sick promo on him and he basically responded with, oh yeah? Well, I'll kick you in the head.
Boom!
And then, you know, but he's improved.
He definitely has.
And I think it's good for him to just, because I think the way that Kofi Kingston R-Truth ended, it was just like, okay, well, see ya. And I think that's, in the end, it's going to really, that's going to Jannetty R-Truth a little bit. But I don't really mind. R-Truth being a former world champion and all, it's okay. Well, yeah. Not as R-Truth, obviously, but... where am I going with this, you might ask? Well, I would like to see Kofi take a more serious turn.
Yeah, are you thinking similar to what happened a couple of years ago when he started that feud with Randy Orton?
Yeah, like, that was really cool. Like, no one saw that happening.
No, it was
No great. One saw that coming, rather.
I maintain that one of the best moments in WWE of the past 5 years was Kofi just destroying Orton and then boom-dropping him through a table. I lost my shit that night. It was incredible.
Up in the shit seats.
Yes, it was so good.
Yeah.
It was ECW, man. It was so great.
It was really cool. But yeah, and they kind of dropped the ball on that, so...
Yeah, it's a shame.
Maybe it'll be interesting to see, you know, they always, have, like, the occasional experiment with the Royal Rumble title match.
Yeah.
And maybe we could see The Miz get that, or maybe even Kofi Kingston get that. Because Kofi's been in title matches before, but that was just, like,
being elimination chamber.
The Elimination Chamber, and they needed him to do spots sort of thing.
Sure.
Same reason why he's been in Money in the Bank matches in the past. But I think it's just genuinely his time to, you know, take the main stage. The only problem with that is that his gimmick is too kiddie. Like, it panders too much to the little guys.
Well, what would you change about it?
Oh, probably wouldn't have the pyros and, like, the whole jumping around thing at the start. He can still keep the whole duh, like, the thing where he's prepping for the Trouble in Paradise. Because
yeah.
That is shades of Shawn Michaels and the Sweet Chin Music. You know, when he would tune up the band.
Yeah, sure.
Like, so I think that's cool, but a bit less pandering to the crowd in his intro. Maybe less, I don't know, just not so much don't wear bright colours, but just a little bit more serious when it comes to ring gear and merchandise. And that ugly ass t-shirt that he's got out now, where it's like, he's
fly.
half Kofi, half bird.
Yeah.
It's like, shit like that just needs to stop. And once that happens, I think he would look the part, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, the future is here. And it's in the Intercontinental Championship division. The US title was on the line. The man who can speak 5 different languages, Mr. Antonio Cesaro, taking on a man that can sort of speak 1, maybe 2? I don't know, Justin Gabriel. A man I didn't see getting a push like this, let alone one in a pay-per-view. I thought this would end up in a pre-show, but they managed to bring it out as kind of a halfway point for Hell in a Cell, and they put on a really good little contest. Gabriel is such an underrated worker, and he is busting his ass to get any form of respect in the company. Kids like him, but there doesn't seem to be any more than that. He's had chances come and go, and it's kind of petered out. He had a great tag team with Tyson Kidd, and I think that's kind of on the rocks at the moment, I'm not too sure, but what I can tell you is that despite the dead audience reaction, Cesaro and Gabriel put in a great effort. I've been championing Cesaro ever since he came into the company with Oksana and that god-awful music that he used to have. Not that it got any better, but you know what I mean. Gabriel, I've been keeping my eye on ever since he came into the Nexus, and it's been a slow burn, and it's been a really gradual build-up, but it's getting there. And I can see great things coming in the next 6 to 12 months for both Antonio Cesaro and Justin Gabriel.
Well, I think You mentioned that Cesaro can speak five languages.
Yeah.
But I think the real talent is that he can speak five languages and still get people to not give a shit about him. Because he's just not over, it's not working, they just need to get the title off him and on someone that people care about.
Like who?
I don't know. That's the sad thing.
Mm.
They might just need to just drop the title altogether because SmackDown is just a piece of shit at the moment. And there is nothing going for it. You know, maybe give the title to Sheamus. I don't know. I can't even name anyone else who's on SmackDown at the moment. Like, because it's not important enough to watch. It's less important than NXT, in my view. And that's just really sad. That I think they've been put so much emphasis this year on how great Monday Night Raw is that they've completely forgotten about SmackDown.
They really have.
And now SmackDown is just a wasteland where they go, "Hey, did you guys watch Raw? Oh, you did. Did you? Yes. Here you go. Watch it again."
Here's the highlights package and maybe three matches in between.
Oh yeah, did you guys want to see some wrestling? Oh, that's okay, we can show you Vicky Guerrero talking for 15 minutes.
And then Booker T staring at a wall for an extra 20.
Oh man, maybe I should book a match.
No! Randy Orton, you're gonna face,
Do we have Batista still?
No.
Then you will wrestle Wade Barrett on Raw. Yeah, take that.
Oh, God.
I know that they stopped calling it the Raw Super Show, but it still is. They're just sucking the life out of SmackDown. There's no point even watching SmackDown anymore. I don't even read the spoilers to SmackDown anymore. SmackDown is dead. The United States title division is dead. There's like four people in it. Who gives a shit? Nobody. That's who. They needed to, like, do something with, and it's been happening for years now. Like, I don't think I've really cared about who was the United States champion since John Cena was the United States champion, like, 2003 or whatever.
It was 04, I think. He won it at WrestleMania 20.
Yeah. Like, that is genuinely the last time that I cared about who was the United States champion.
Sure.
It's just been a gradual decline from something that was really cool. Like, former world champions like Chris Benoit and The Big Show and stuff would hold the US title, and it meant something. And then back in the WCW days, dudes like Scott Steiner and Bret Hart held it, and it meant something, and it was cool. And now it's like Santino Marella and Zack Ryder and like all the shitty kids wrestlers that no one gives a shit about. And I guess what they're trying to do is kind of like what Cody Rhodes did with the Intercontinental title, and just have a really serious guy have a really long reign and bring some legitimacy back to it. But it's not working because no one knows or cares, like, knows who Antonio Cesaro is unless they watched Ring of Honor. And no one cares. That's the major problem. Only reason people would watch Cesaro matches was to see Oksana. And now they can't do that.
No.
So I guess the whole thing is just a failed experiment, and eventually I think they should just kill the United States title.
I appreciate our rants as much as the next guy, Chris, but what did you actually think of this match?
I don't care. I really didn't care. Like, the whole time, I was really excited for it, because it was like, yeah, Justin Gabriel's getting a chance to shine.
Yeah, I mean, you like Justin Gabriel as much as I do. I love
Justin Gabriel. He's a great athlete. Antonio Cesaro's a great athlete. I've been following him for a couple of years prior to his entrance to the WWE, but that being said, they got less of a reaction than the Divas match, and that is saying something, because that was dead air.
Yeah.
This is negative dead air. This was awful. I don't know. The match was okay. There wasn't any flow to it. It was kind of just spot, 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 finish, done. Let's go.
Yeah.
It really should have been a pre-show match. Really, the way they worked it. There was nothing. And there was no build, either.
No.
It was like, oh, Justin Gabriel's back and he's won a match. Now we're going to give him a title shot. And that, David, is the problem with the United States title division.
Didn't we literally find out on the SmackDown before that it was going to happen?
I found out the day of the pay-per-view that it was happening. Like, I was watching something on YouTube and some guy was like, oh yeah, the Justin Gabriel Cesaro match is happening. And I was like, really? That's cool. But yeah, it was terrible. 0 out of 5. It's just a shame. It really is. More tag team action! The team of Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara took on the team of D. Young and the Real Deal, Titus O'Neil! I'm sorry, I just had to get my white man on. I love that team. I love them with all my heart and all my soul. Apart from Team Friendship, they are my favourite tag team in this goddamn company. They are so fun and so great to watch in the ring, and they have improved exponentially since they joined forces. Before that, they were kind of okay, but a bit stale, and now they've got a whole new level going on right now. Mysterio and Sin Cara is cute and a bit sweet, and I like, you know, how over they are with the kids and stuff like that, but Mysterio is very, very near his expiry date, and it's starting to show through. So when you've got someone like that, and someone like Sin Cara, who, to put it nicely, is accident prone, you're going to get a very uneven match. So, although this was a bit patchy, I still had fun. I'm all about the primetime players, though. I mean, how could you not be?
Yeah, I know, they're cool. I think the whole Rey Mysterio Sin Cara thing is just really, it's more of a mentor thing than it is just, oh, two Mexican guys, let's put them in a team.
Yeah, they've been angling that, and I like that.
And it's true, because Rey would be helping, Mystico. I'm sorry, Sin Cara. he'd be helping Cara with his English and his American style. That is the most important thing, because we all know that when they hired Alberto Del Rio, the former Dos Caras Jr., they had him in development for a year and a half, and now he can do American style.
Mm.
Whereas they signed this Mystico, started calling him Sin Cara, 3 weeks later he was in a ring, and that was their big problem. And so now we're starting to see, it's been pretty much a year and a bit. Almost a year and a half.
Yeah, something
close
like that.
To a year and a half. And now he's starting to not botch. He's starting to get through matches clean. Except for that one incident where he smacked his head and got a concussion in this tag team match. He had a really good match. It's not just time. It's also the influence and experience of Rey Mysterio, who would have had those problems as well coming into the American scene in 1995.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a great team, not only as a tag team, but as, you know, a progress.
Do you think it's important that there is a tag team match on this bill that isn't for the title?
Yeah.
Do you think it's... Because I think it's absolutely fabulous that they are pushing the tag division again. And to have something like this to kind of break up the pay-per-view, I thought was really good.
I guess, like, this time last year, the tag team division was just like, oh, two ethnic guys who are about the same size, let's put them in a team.
That's racist!
It's true. But yeah, now that they've got such a big tag team division that they can put two tag team matches on a pay-per-view that both have legitimate, you know, like, beef with each other. Like, oh, sure. Primetime players would be all angry because the, like, Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio knocked him out of the tag team title division.
Yeah.
The tournament, rather. So, that's cool. It's cool that there was a tag team tournament to begin with.
Sure.
And it wasn't just, you know, people of the same ethnicity tagging up.
Go with this guy.
It's like, you too. You wear the same colour now. You're a tag team.
That's it.
And they've kept it going. After the tournament, they've still got, you know, like, Team Cobra, or whatever they call themselves, like,
yeah.
Zack and Morella, which is kind of like the King of the Kids team, which is cool, you know? Yeah. I think that team will actually work out well for both of them, because Zack Ryder's over with the Attitude Era fans, and Morella's over with the kids, so they'll work together well.
Mm.
And yeah, I just think it's really great for the tag team division in general that they could have two tag team matches. And that they're not breaking up tag teams. straight after they lose, you know, apart from like Kofi and Truth, but that was that was
meant to happen.
That was a spur of the moment team to begin with, because they were banking on Evan Bourne to be back in time, and he wasn't, so they found a guy.
Well, at least we can say that the tag team division is now more than just a Teddy Long joke. We're now on to the longest match of the night, which actually wasn't the closer. We are talking about the World Heavyweight Championship. We got to see the world's largest athlete, The Big Show, taking on the hooligan himself, the reigning World Heavyweight Champion, Sheamus. I'm going to be totally honest, this is a match I was dreading. Absolutely dreading. I have not cared about either of these guys for ages, and it's taken so much to get me involved in either of them again. But this one, this sold me hook, line, and sinker. After an incredibly stale feud with Barretti, Alberto Del Rio, this is exactly what Sheamus needed. After an incredibly fucking boring feud with John Cena, this is exactly what Big Show needed. And to have Big Show be victorious, I have not been that happy for the Big Show in years. That fucker earned it. Almost 1 year to the date of beating Mark Henry and winning the title, only to lose it 45 seconds later to Daniel Bryan. This is it. This is the final chapter in Big Show's career. This is going to be his final massive push as the most nasty heel on SmackDown. And I welcome it. I greatly, greatly welcome it. I never thought I'd be saying this shit about the Big Show. This is what he needs. This is what Sheamus needs. They put on a fucking great match. I felt like a teenager watching some of those bits, just going, oh my god, I can't believe he kicked out of that. It felt real to me, damn it. It was great.
It was very cool.
I loved this match. In my opinion, best thing to come out of Hell in a Cell. Your thoughts?
I guess I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I don't really care about Sheamus as a face, and I've been quite vocal about that.
Yeah, so
forever. Because he's terrible as a face, straight up. I don't care. I don't care, and I don't really care about the Big Show as a face or a heel, because he's not really that great. Never has been. But I guess it's cool that this will, you know, maybe be the last, you know, the last big thing that he does. And I thought it was cool in the interview after the match, he referred to himself as the Giant, which is the name that he debuted as when he won the WCW Championship in his first night. So I guess that's a cool little nod to his past. You know, Big Show being the only guy in history who has been WCW, ECW, WWE, WWF, and World Heavyweight Champion.
Wow.
Yeah, so
it's pretty impressive.
It is very impressive. I think he's been WWE champion and WWE Undisputed Champion. Was it still the Undisputed Championship?
No, it wasn't the Undisputed Championship.
Oh no, that's right.
He won the WWE title from Brock Lesnar in 2002. Yeah,
Brock Lesnar was the last Undisputed Champion. That's right.
That's correct. Yeah.
Fucking Brock Lesnar. Yeah. So Big Show. I think it's very good that the title's off Sheamus.
That's the main thing to come out of this.
I've been wanting that ever since he won it.
Yeah.
I didn't even want him to win it in the first place. I didn't even want him to win the Royal Rumble. I have not been a fan of Sheamus, I don't think, in a while.
Mm.
I think last time I enjoyed a Sheamus match was when he was a heel. So, like, when he was wrestling, you know, Daniel Bryan for the United States title, when he was a heel then. That was cool. As soon as that 3 count happened, I was just like, justice. Finally, the fucking Super Sheamus is dead.
Yeah.
It's done. Let it go. And then, of course, they're going to have a rematch, and Sheamus will lose again, and that'll just take him to the end of the line, and it'll be perfect.
Yep.
Maybe even he'll get a chance to turn heel or something.
Who knows?
Like he'll beat the shit out of Big Show after their match, and then Ziggler will cash in on him or something, I don't know. It's really weird now, actually, that I bring up Ziggler, because if it is Big Show's last run, he's not going to want to get cashed in on, like, a month or two into his reign.
Mm.
So maybe we're going to see Ziggler cash in post-WrestleMania.
Who knows?
I really don't want to wait that long, but... I don't know. It gives Big Show time to be a dominant world champion, which he hasn't done in a long time. I think since 2002. It's been... Oh, he was ECW champion for a bit.
Are we going to count that?
Yeah, I guess the early days of WWE ECW was kind of legit. He wasn't respected as their champion, though, which was interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Good on Sheamus for nothing, because he's terrible as a face. Good on Big Show for winning the world title. Good on Big Show for having one last run. Good on Dolph Ziggler for being Dolph Ziggler. Good on Creative for finally coming to their senses and getting the title off Sheamus. He is still not ready to be world champion. And I mean that 100%. I don't think he wasn't ready the first time, he wasn't ready the second time, he was almost ready the third time. And yeah, he's still not ready.
Oh man. He's been saving up these rants, haven't you?
We've got to make up for time, man. Yeah. We haven't been on in a while.
I guess.
So you get two rants tonight.
Oh boy. In 2011, Nash texted himself. In 2012, Eve iPadded herself? I don't know. All I can tell you is that this is potentially the worst storyline to involve a diva since Mae Young gave birth to a hand.
It's the worst everything ever.
I like Eve. I adore Caitlyn. And Layla has kind of won me over a little bit. But this has to stop. It's getting completely ridiculous. The lack of reaction in this match was terrifying. It literally sounded like the entire crowd was deathly silent. Like, I don't know what happened, but it was just disturbingly dead. What more can you say? It's disgusting. When every other division, even the United States Championship division, has more momentum going than the Divas title run. You really just gotta wonder where it's headed. Who's going to save the Divas division? I've pointed to a couple of people. I thought Caitlyn could do it. Apparently not. I'm not gonna give Caitlyn the strap. Eve's character is boring. Layla's character is even worse. Caitlyn is young and exciting and improving with every single match. Giving her the strap would be a no-brainer for me, but apparently not. So, I thought this was a really frustrating penultimate match for the evening.
I love Caitlyn.
How great is Caitlyn? My God.
Like, I've loved her ever since NXT, man. I've always been her biggest fan.
She's wonderful. Absolutely freaking wonderful.
I'm pretty much high on anyone who comes from NXT, and that includes Ryback.
We'll get to Ryback in just a second.
In a second. Yeah, I'm huge on her, and I'm huge on AJ Lee, I'm huge on Oksana, and I'm huge on Naomi, who is quite the talent, but they've turned her into a dancer.
Yeah.
Which is that. There's always that. She's a good wrestler, too. It's like, well, she wasn't when she started, but, you know, no one really is in their first, few matches. Mm-hmm. She's got a good look, so does Caitlyn, so does AJ, even has her own. She's unique. Oksana's a brilliant manager. She's not a great wrestler. She could probably throw a chain together if you asked her to.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess that's really all they're asking from with their divas. It's just, you know, just still a basic match. And that's not good enough. For a company that refers to themselves as the best wrestling company in the world. Well, they don't say wrestling, obviously. They say sports entertainment. But for a company that says stuff like that, to have your top female athletes just go out there and throw together a basic match on television that doesn't even last 10 minutes, that's not good enough.
Not even close.
There needs to be a massive overhaul. And I guess with the signing of Sarah Del Rey, who's probably the best female wrestler in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they did to her? They made her a trainer.
Are you serious?
I'm pretty certain.
So she's not coming in to wrestle.
I don't think she's coming in to wrestle.
What the fuck?
Where did you hear this? Well, as soon as they signed her, she got put into like a team photo sort of thing that got tweeted on Bill DeMott's Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a 1,000% sure on it, but that's what I'm assuming they're going to have her do, just train their wrestlers, which is really depressing.
Yeah, what is the point of that?
I don't know, but, you know, maybe they just put her in development to wait a little while.
I guess we'll find out soon enough, but yeah. You're damn right in that the Divas just, they need to kick up the ass.
They really do. They just need to go, stop fucking complaining. You have the easiest job in the world. You just go out there, look pretty, and wrestle a 1-star match every night. So maybe just put in that little extra effort and, you know, learn to fucking wrestle. Eve's a great athlete. She's a jiu-jitsu brown belt or some shit.
Yeah.
She needs to incorporate that more into her style. She needs to do more submission holds and shit like that.
Yeah. She threw in a couple and they were the absolute highlight of the match.
Yeah. So that's cool. Oh, you've got Natalya Neidhart there, who is dungeon trained, so you know it's legit.
Enough said.
They had Beth Phoenix up until quite recently. I'm not sure what they're doing with her. Who else is good in the WWE division? AJ Lee's an okay wrestler.
I love AJ.
Interesting what they're going to do with her, like, because she got fired and all that shit. Whether they're going to have her be a wrestler again and stuff. I don't know. Point is, Divas can just log off and improve and shit.
Again, we're dealing with so much great potential. It would just be a shame to see the Divas division just go to waste. And on the 343rd day, CM Punk took on Ryback for the WWE Championship within the confines of Hell in a Cell. This was a match that, for all intents and purposes, was not supposed to happen. It was supposed to be John Cena, but they fucking overworked John Cena, gave him an injury, and then put him in a shitty fucking storyline with AJ about an affair or a scandal or some bullshit. Whatever. They had a backup plan, and they fucking pushed Ryback to the moon. Easily the biggest match of Ryback's entire career. And now, the WWE has made a crazy risk. Absolutely crazy. And it worked. We now have one of the most over faces in the entire company. Ryback has now been skyrocketed to main event status. Is he ready? Not quite, but fuck. Let's give it a go. Let's see where this crazy ride takes us. I am officially on board. I never thought I'd be saying this because I got so frustrated with seeing him week after week taking on shitty fucking no-name jobbers. It pissed me off royally. Now that they've given him something to work with, I'm far and away impressed. It's great. He's doing such an interesting and impressive job. Is it going to continue? Is it going to last? Who knows? But right now, Ryback is exactly what the WWE needs.
You know, the last guy that they pushed to the moon who wasn't ready? John Cena. You know how you get a guy over quickly? You compare him, make him the suitable replacement to John Cena. That's exactly what they did with Ryback, and it worked a treat. The kids already loved him, but now...
Shit's unchanged.
Yep, he's just permanently over now. Everything about this match was perfect for maintaining Ryback's momentum, keeping the belt on CM Punk, and covering their own asses, basically.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of John Cena, putting him in a storyline where he's accused of having an affair with someone, that's really poor taste after recent events.
Yeah, definitely.
What
were they thinking?
That's really actually quite disgusting.
Yeah.
I know he brought it on himself and all that jazz, but Jesus Christ, man, come on.
Not cool.
Not cool. Like, oh, just upsets me.
It really does.
Now,
I have to ask, what did you make of the finish? Because that has pissed a lot of people off.
Oh, dude, that was weird.
It was, wasn't it? Ooh. I did not see that coming.
That referee, I was like, I've never seen that referee before in my life. And then, it was like, why do they have him main event, doing the main event? That's really weird. And then I was like, oh, yeah. All makes sense. This guy's here, and he's doing things. Punching balls and whatnot. Fast count. Oh, okay. Well, that was weird. Goodbye, Ryback streak.
Oh, shit.
That's how, like, I guess, and the fact that they didn't mention that he's not undefeated anymore at, like, at all.
No.
There's just, like, they didn't really care.
Pretty much.
It's like, to really flog a dead horse, it's the same thing with, like, Goldberg. When they had to cheat to break his streak to beat him for a title. You know, like when Scott Hall tasered him and all that shit.
Yeah, sure.
It's exactly what happened here. He was a legitimate threat that couldn't be stopped, so they had to cheat to beat him. And it was a massive screw job, and everyone got the shits with it, and rah 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 rah. Not like a legit screw job, but not like our podcast.
No.
But yeah, I thought it was really cool. It was a cool ending. All that jazz. It was interesting. It was fresh. It was unique. I don't think we'll see it again. I don't think they'd run that risk again. But it was a great way to, you know, maintain heat on both guys and cover their asses.
So you don't think we'll be seeing Ryback as WWE champion?
Oh, probably not the next few months.
2013?
Yeah.
Really? Probably. Yeah.
Probably with a feud with Wade Barrett for the world title.
Oh,
again,
I like that.
NXT.
I like
huge
that a lot.
On NXT guys. Primetime Players, NXT guys. Justin Gabriel, NXT guys. I'm huge on it. I love it. In fact, the only guy I don't love from NXT is Johnny Curtis.
There's a lot of potential there in that little NXT farm, and it's obviously paying off in truckloads if we're getting people like Ryback.
Yeah.
I guess the future's here, and we're being fed it.
Yeah. More.
We're being fed it more.
More.
Fed us him.
If you would like to find us in the wide world of the interwebs, then you may do so at the following. ScrewjobPodcast@gmail.com is your destination to email us. If you have any questions, queries, complaints, or if you would like to challenge us to a fight, we will not back down, we're not afraid of you, and we will beat your ass.
Probably.
At the Screwjob on Twitter, you can find us there. We usually like to live tweet Raw, maybe SmackDown every now and then, and pay-per-views. So we're going to be getting back into that over the coming weeks. We're also going to get back into our Tumblr page, so head over to thescrewjob.tumblr.com, and you can find us talking about wrestling, and posting things about wrestling, and probably trolling people about wrestling. All different kinds of shit like that. You can find our podcast on the internet three different ways. Through Podomatic, through iTunes, and through Stitcher Radio. Podomatic is your number one source for free podcast hosting on the internet. So please head over to podomatic.com and check that out. And please, find our channel, The Screwjob .podomatic.com. If you found us in iTunes, then why not drop by, leave a comment, let us know that you liked it, leave a review and a rating, and of course we are on Stitcher Radio. Now, with Stitcher's free app for smartphones, iPhones, whatever else, Galaxy things.
Androids.
Androids have feelings too. That's a Red Dwarf joke, and not many people will get that one. But with Stitcher's free app for all of those things, you can listen to us, you can listen to Mr. Ira Glass on This American Life, you can listen to The Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana.
That was really bad.
You can listen to Alec Baldwin with Here's the Thing. And thousands of other podcasts without the need to download or sync, which is a pretty neat little thing to have on your phone. So, if you would like more information on that, then please visit Stitcher.com and grab your free app today. And on that note, that is 1, 2, 3 from us. We are back, motherfuckers. The Screwjob is live, it is happening, you are feeling it inside your fingers, and you can feel it in your bones.
And your butt.
And your butt. Especially your butt. Matter of fact, I want you to get up as soon as this podcast is done and wiggle that butt at the nearest person. I don't care who it is. Just wiggle that butt and they'll say, hey, what are you doing? And you'll say, Screwjob's back, bitches, deal with it.
And then you'll go, titties, like that.
Like an absolute pimp. It feels fucking great to be back, and we will not be another 3 months before we see you again.
Yes, it will.
Fuck off, Chris.
Okay. I'll get the mile.
So, until we meet again, wrestling fans, my name's David.
My name's Chris.
And next time you're at Cracker Barrel, get the mile.
I'll just get the mile.